Little financial meeting with whoever wants to stay. Every time I put this on the calendar, something else happens, so we're just going to do it tonight. So you guys, we'll catch y'all up on where we are this year and all that, being that we'll be voting next week on a missionary. Probably ought to know where you're at financially. Might help. So Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to talk about desperate relationships. So this the end of this chapter is, this whole chapter is such a mess. It's so bad. Genesis chapter 19, verse 30. God has destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham is outside somewhere in the land, and he sees this, the pillar of smoke going up, and I imagine he doesn't know if Lot's in it, if his family's in it, or what. And anyhow, Abraham sees all that. Lot, as you remember, he gets taken out by these angels, and it's just a terrible situation. But this is one of those pivotal chapters in the Bible that from here on out, the Lord will constantly make reference to what happened here and constantly go back to the sin in Sodom and God's judgment there. And all the way through Jude and Revelation, it's mentioned. And so this is one of those pivotal things that you learn about, and that way when it gets referenced in the future in the Bible, you know exactly what he's talking about. And so after God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his wife and two daughters start to escape, and Lot's wife decides she's got to go back. She just has to go back. So she goes back, and she gets destroyed in all the destruction and judgment. And so now it's just Lot and his daughters. In verse 30, it's a terrible thing that happens. I want to be an encouragement tonight, but going through this is, you got to get through this garbage to get to something good here. It says, and Lot went up, verse 30, out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, and he and his two daughters. So I imagine, and he's afraid to dwell in Zoar because who knows if that place is going to burn down. So he goes into a cave. And verse 31, the firstborn said unto the younger, these are the daughters, our father's old. There's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. It came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. Go in, thou in, and lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she rose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. What a mess. What an absolute mess. And the firstborn bare a son called his name Moab, same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So let's pray, and let's try to get what we can out of this, but try to get something encouraging after all the mess we go through to get to it. Father, I pray you'd help us this evening, and the desperate decisions of people when their perspective on life is such that, like Lot's daughters here, and Lot, people make crazy decisions and lose all sorts of sight of boundaries and values and morals when they're just desperate. And I pray you'd help us get some guidance from this, as disgusting as the chapter is. Get some guidance, make some application, and help us with what we're going to deal with this evening. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is just a mess. It's a mess from the get-go. I'm sure Lot had a fun time in Sodom for a while, and after he had a good time in Sodom and, you know, was a little bit successful and all that kind of stuff, that he got to the point here in chapter 19 where God says he's going to judge Sodom, and so he's going to do that, and he does it. And here's Lot now left with just he and his daughters. He's afraid to go to any city because he doesn't know if it's going to get burned down like Sodom and Gomorrah got burned down. And he ends up in a cave, and these daughters of his, they got a very twisted perspective of reality. And because of that, their boundaries for what is right and what is wrong are completely obliterated. And this is what happens to people if they don't have the right perspective on life. These daughters, they say, both of them, you know, there's nobody else in the earth. There's no way that there's no men for us. There's no one we can marry. So the only way to have children in our family line is to have children by our own father, which is disgusting. But that's their perspective on reality at this point. That's their perspective on the situation. And so because that's their perspective, they throw morality out the window, they throw good decision making out the window. And what you find out is people do crazy things when their perspective on life is messed up. And so Lot had something to do with all this. I mean, he brought his family. He built a family in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the city of Sodom. And he made a home for his family there. And if you remember earlier in the chapter, when the angels are there and all that garbage is going on early in the chapter, one of the things he does is he offers up his daughters. I mean, so this guy's perspective on life is not real great either. He chased business. He chased what appeared to be success in this world, and I mean, he went after it. He went where all the hustle and bustle was in Sodom, and I'm sure he did well there for a while until God finally destroyed the place. But his perspective on life and his, I don't know if you could even call it faith. I mean, if he had faith, I mean, sure, I guess he had some. At some point, he's called a righteous man, just vexing his righteous soul in Sodom and Gomorrah. But his ideas about how to live life from the get-go with Abraham, you know, choosing Sodom, he makes his home in Sodom, and then trying to convince, when God's judgment is finally about to fall on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboiim and those places, trying to convince his loved ones that God's judgment is coming, and they think it's just a joke. They just think it's sort of a joke that he would bring that up. Like, how are you, why would you say God's going to judge our lifestyle? God's not going to judge who are you to judge us? And that's kind of the response he gets. So he doesn't really have any sort of testimony with his family. I mean, they sort of think he's kind of a joke whenever he tries to get serious. You know, hey, this is a serious situation. The family's like, what do you mean? What do you mean God's going to do all this? I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy, man. So his legacy with his family, this is the last time you read about Lot. In the old, I mean, this is his life. It doesn't end here, but you know, the story, the narrative sort of departs from Lot. You get this Genesis 19 account, and then that's kind of the last little bit of information about his life. He'll show up and he'll be referenced in the New Testament a little bit, but ultimately, I mean, his legacy, what he did with his family is a mess. And so his daughters are raised in this whole environment, and I don't know, when we read through this stuff, I mean, it's terrible to read through and read through what the daughter's decision is, you know, hey, we'll get our dad drunk and then we'll get pregnant by our dad. What a horrible thing. But their perspective on life drove this decision, and it effectively, because of their perspective, you know, there's nobody out in the world, there's nobody for us, there's nobody left. The only way to do this is to do it this way. That's their perspective on life. And so with that perspective, with that philosophy, with that understanding, which is not an understanding at all, it's a misunderstanding, but with that understanding in their mind, they remove all the boundaries, they remove any morality, they remove any sense of right and wrong to accomplish something that they think, you know, this is the end for us if we don't do something about it. And so I titled this, I call it Desperate Relationships, because this can be, as disgusting as it is in this chapter, it can be so applicable to people and relationships. People will make crazy decisions about relationships and who to get in a relationship with because their perspective on life is skewed a little bit, it's messed up. And I go back to that because these girls in this chapter wouldn't have done what they did if they had a different perspective on life. But this is what they came to, and this is their desperation. They say, there's nobody around for us. We better make something happen here. And so they in desperation do something very stupid. And as disgusting as all of it is, it's not far from how faithless people can sometimes make decisions about relationships. You know what I think? if you're not a teenager, you can try to think back to being a teenager as best you can. Maybe you can't, I don't know. Maybe that's way beyond that. But if you're a teenager here, we have a few, you can probably relate to this. And you get this perspective on life that if I don't jump into this, there's not going to be anybody for me. I mean, there's no one else. If this doesn't work, there's nobody else. I have to make this thing work. And that's Lot's daughters. We have to do something. And you know what happens as a result of that perspective? You know what happens as a result of that perspective with teenagers? The boundaries go out the door. The morals go out the door. All of the godly counsel goes out the door. All because I got to be in this relationship. I got to do something. And the reality is, you don't. It's not a dead end where you're at. You don't have to do anything. In fact, what you're about to do is make a big mistake. So these girls do something that's bad and all of that. But when you step back and consider what's going on in their mind and what goes on in people's mind, it may not even be teenager. Maybe it's an adult. Maybe it's an adult that is just desperate for a relationship. And so as the desperation gets more and more, Maybe it's loneliness. The loneliness gets more and more. And I've never been in that position, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But that loneliness gets more and more. And what happens is as that goes up, as that desperation goes up, the boundaries start to go down. And the standards start to go down a little bit. And you know what? Maybe I'll just take what I can get. Maybe I'll just accept what I can get because it just doesn't seem like there's anybody out there. And so I'll just take what I can get out of this. That's Lot's daughters. We're in a position where we can't, there's nobody else on the earth. And if we don't act now, nothing's going to happen. And we got to do something now. They thought this, if I lose my life in Sodom, which they lost everything in Sodom. If I lose my old life, there will be nothing to replace that. There's nothing that God has to help me out, to guide me in any direction. So if I lose what I have in Sodom, I have no hope. I have nothing to value anymore. We might as well just do whatever we can to exist and to make things happen and to work this out. And to preserve our lineage or whatever. That's what these girls thought. They lost their old life in Sodom. And they think they've lost everything. So they become desperate and hopeless. And a Christian, if you're a Christian here, you'd say, or you're watching online or may watch this in the future. You say, man, trying to find a good Christian companion is impossible. Where are these people? Where are they? And then a period of time goes by, and then you start saying, well, I don't think they're anywhere, so I'll just settle for whatever. Whatever comes along, I'll just settle for whatever comes along. The reality is none of those things are true. The Lord is perfectly capable to guide and put people together in relationships as He sees fit. And moreover, you understand it was God's will from the beginning. Man marries a woman, and that's God's will. He understands all that. But man, you get this perspective like Lot's daughters get, and you start making crazy decisions. And your boundaries go out the window. The standards go out the window. The morals go out the window. The idea, the reality goes out the window. And we read this account and we say, that is disgusting. That's horrible. And it is. And what led to that is the same sort of mentality and the same sort of thoughts that run through many people these days, just desperation. I'm so desperate. I got to do something. So these desperate perspectives. So here's the end of all of this. And this won't be a long one. The end of all of this, through all of this, this desperation, the interpretation of reality. You know, they think there's no one out there. There's nothing out there. We just have to do what we can do now at this point. We're the only people left on earth. There's nobody left for us. We just have to do what we can now. With that in mind, they get Lot drunk, and then they get pregnant by their own dad. Disgusting stuff. And then they have these children, Moabites and become the Moabites and the Ammonites, which you'll read about all through the Bible after this. They bring forth these cultures, these people who will birth these cultures that are just idolatrous cultures. And so all of this, when you think about, when you look in the Bible, and when you look at lives, just our own lives, and you see sort of the fruition of these decisions, and you count back and you say, you know what, how much of this stuff could have just been avoided just with someone someone interpreting reality right, someone just having a little bit of faith in the Lord, just trusting God and not being so desperate. Maybe it could have worked out so different, but desperation, the pressure, and I mean, that's how the world and the flesh works. I mean, that's one way it works. It's just this pressure and intensity, and we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. You got to make this decision. And all the you feel it in your body, you feel it in the crowd, and we got to do something, we got to do something. And I mean, how much could be avoided if people trusted the Lord? People trusted the Lord in some very critical areas of their lives, and things would turn out a lot differently. They just turn out a lot differently. So with those things in mind, I'm going to try to make this a little bit encouraging because it's such a terrible chapter here that we're in. But I think we can all agree the whole thing is... it's terrible what happens here at the end of Genesis 19. So how do you avoid that? I mean, how do you avoid being so desperate? How do you avoid those ideas about reality? I mean, if you have no, you know, if a person never avails themselves of the light God gives them, you know, you got a Bible. You've got an opportunity to read about reality. If you never avail yourself of the light God gives you, we've said it so many times, you will literally live in your own world. And you'll live in your own desperation, and you'll live in your own desperate thoughts. And you'll make decisions based on those desperate thoughts, and you'll make decisions based on those desperate realities that are in your mind. So how do you avoid all that? Well, you could trust God. You could let God work. You could step back, and instead of feeling the desperation and the pressure of the world, like we talked about this morning, maybe consider what God has to say about it. Maybe consider that God has an opinion about the situation. Maybe consider that God has a perspective that you need to listen to, instead of living in your own little perspective and world that's outside of the light of God's word. And so if Lot's daughters had done that, they never would have said, well, there's no one on earth for us anymore. We're the last people. There's no one else there. They wouldn't have said that stuff. They wouldn't have made the decisions that they made. Mind you, all of these decisions, they were all sort of a chain reaction from this faulty interpretation of reality. We're the last people. There's nobody left. I mean, we're not going to find anybody. So we gotta do something. And they did something. But it doesn't turn out any good. It's not good what they do. So to avoid all of that, what do you do? Well, you can get God's perspective on it. Maybe you can wait on the Lord. Maybe you can allow the Lord to work and give Him time to work. Maybe you could step back and not let the pressures of the world get in your mind, I guess, like they would or could. I say again, I mean, we can all agree the whole thing is terrible, but how do you avoid all that stuff? Well, you can avoid it. This whole situation, just understand, the whole situation here in Genesis 19 is completely avoidable. It doesn't have to happen this way. It doesn't have to happen this way. So it's trust God. It's let God work. It's accept His perspective. It's stop dealing with the perspective of the world. It's get God's wisdom on it, and then rest in God's wisdom. Let His wisdom be your light and your direction and your guidance and your steps. And so those are some things you can get at the end of this chapter Again, it's one of these pivotal chapters in the Bible that so many things come out of, and God will make reference back to Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah, and then you'll have the Moabites and the Ammonites, and there'll be some idolatrous cultures that keep popping up all through the Bible, and it's one of these pivotal sort of places in the Bible that from here, lots of things happen from here, but I hope that's helpful to you and trying to make something out of what goes on at the end of this thing. You may find that some of this stuff may hit, I don't know, maybe a little bit closer to home, I don't know, but I see this stuff, I read about these things at the end of Genesis 19 here, and it's like, you know, that's terrible, but these people make decisions based on their perspective of life. That's what they're making decisions based on. And they don't seem to regard God in any of it. They just seem to be desperate people who think they're the last ones and nobody's left. And, you know, we got to do something now, and we got to do something, and it's urgent, and it's right now, and we got to do it, and we got to make this happen. And it's the way a lot of people make decisions, unfortunately. It's the way a lot of people make decisions. So let's pray. I know it'll be a short one this evening. We'll pray. Then, if you're interested, we'll have a little brief financial meeting. Just go over where we're at for the year, and that way we'll know what we got working with for voting next week for missionaries. So let's pray. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Trying to get something out of these verses is. It's tough, but there's some things going on there that are probably closer to the way people make decisions than we all want to admit. But I pray we'd get the positive side out of this and be encouraged and trust God on the decisions we make, and particularly in these relationships. Pray that we get your wisdom and rest in your wisdom about things like this that are life decisions that affect people's lives forever. And pray you'd help us with these things. And thank you for each soul that's here this evening. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.